I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Beast Tamer, which was a recommendation by Dammit Jin and Jeb. Thank you very much for that recommendation.
It was a good one, in my opinion. I liked it.
Good, good. I'm glad you did. I liked Palette it cleanser. As well. You know what, sir? You know, sometimes you got to have that palate cleansing when you are, you know, skipping a week here and there, you know?
You know, it is I'm one of those
bitter,
things.
Not bitter at all. No.
I was just saying, how do you think I feel? I was ready. I was just 2 hours too late.
All right. So, but before all that, we were talking about animes that are coming out, new seasons that we're really excited for, some of our hopes and dreams and disappointments in general, you know, just talk a little bit about some of those shows that are coming out and that we're watching as they come out. You want to catch a part of that wider conversation? patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. Or if you want to hang out in our Discord and get a little poke from Rick here, who lets you know in our Discord whenever we go live on YouTube, you know, you could always hang out with us and you know, more than welcome to help poke us with some questions and things like that while we're there. If you want to purchase some anime swag or merch or anything like that, we do have affiliate links for you in the show notes. Anything you purchase using those links is very much appreciated. We do get a little bit of a kickback. If you want to actually purchase some of our own swag that we have, you can go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. It is very much appreciated. And now on to the me and Brotatoes. Actually, you know what? I take that back. We also got some more feedback from people on Spotify. And we also talked a little bit about that in the pre-show. And there's one that they talked about, or one thing that they said specifically for episode one, Overlord, the very first episode that we did. They have been meaning to watch the series, and it's long, but they heard it gets kind of boring. And I would honestly say, meet Q, pardon me if I'm saying that incorrectly, I would disagree with whoever says it gets kind of boring. I find it very entertaining all the way through. Like, there is not a point in time where I am thinking that this is taking too long or I find it boring. I genuinely feel like it is a continual entertaining show.
The only time I could see that somebody might think it's boring is season two, the beginning of the episodes, but the beginning episodes in season two. And the only reason that it gets boring is it's convoluted. You don't really understand what's going on because the art style shifts really hard. You end season one on a fantastic note. Season two starts off with, like, essentially what culminates to lizard sex, and you're like, that's weird. And then it all makes sense. It gives you a different perspective that you weren't really looking at, and it gives you, if it hits you the same way it hit me, it makes you appreciate the storytelling all the more.
To say the least, it is well worth the watch. So watch it. That's all I got to say. Yeah, that's all we got to say.
100%.
100%. Back that. All right. Now on to the me and Brotatoes. Beast Tamer came out in October 2022, ran all the way through December 2022. It's only 13 episodes long. A couple producers for it are Square Enix, Nippon, Columbia, Crunchyroll also looked is listed as a producer for them. Studio for it is EMT Squared. It's based off of a manga. The genres for it, action, fantasy, harem. I would even throw isekai, or not isekai, slice of life in there.
Mm.
Maybe romance. Yeah. Maybe a little bit of romance. He's just dumb. Yet. He hasn't picked up on the love feels from everyone yet, man. That's all it is. He's your standard MC. He's your standard MC. So
fair enough.
Beast Tamer. It's also known as the Beast Tamer who got kicked out of the hero's party, then meets a cat girl from the superior race or ultimate race is another way of saying the actual title. Cause the title is actually really long, not just Beast Tamer.
That's fair. In my personal experience, only the best people are kicked out of the hero's parties.
True. So among all the beasts that roam the world, there are specific types, and why I wanted to bring up that title, superior race or ultimate race, is because there are a unique type of ultimate species in this world that have immeasurable amount of strength. They are like either super strong, or they have an insurmountable amount of magic, or a combination of the two, the likes of which that, they tip the power scale so much so in their favor, and humans in general covet their abilities. And this is shown throughout the series on multiple times for people that whenever they come across them, our main character is Beast Tamer, and he can employ the assistance of various animals to help him with various tasks and be able to communicate with them and generate contracts with them. However, he is unique in that he can create contracts with multiple animals, multiple beasts, simultaneously at the exact same time. And the hero party that he's actually a part of don't truly understand his worth, his true worth. And so they kick him out, and they talk a lot of smack to him too while they're kicking him out. So he then goes off, finds an ultimate species, Kanade, and makes a contract with her, and thus begins his journey as an adventurer to basically become the true hero of the world, even though he was kicked out of the quote unquote hero's party.
Well, here's what I think about that. I think that our Beast Tamer is actually the hero.
Yes.
Like in my mind, I feel like this Beast Tamer has, or rather RMC has the proper lineage, which is why his village of Beast Tamers were destroyed. Quite interestingly though, most Beast Tamers are happy if they can make two total contracts, long term, short term, really doesn't matter. Whereas our guy goes 10, 20, I think the most he did was a beehive colony and it from afar.
Yeah. Well, they never specified the exact number. He just like, oh yeah, no, I can totally do that. And they do specify, it's like, you can only do one. I mean, like two is like almost unheard of, but he does multiple at the exact same time. And the reason why they say that you shouldn't be able to do more than just one at a time is because your sensory, you would just overload. Your body wouldn't be able to handle the amount of contracts or connections that it's making. And then he also is able to transport part of his spirit into an animal and force it to talk using his power and everything. And it's just like, keeps going next level, next level, next level, next level, next level. And everything that he's doing, everything that he's setting out for, he just kind of does it. And mentally he's like, oh yeah, no, you should, everyone totally can do this, right? Everyone can. Mm. And
to be fair, initially he's very weak. He doesn't have the strength of anybody important until he makes a contract with the cat spirit or the cat lady, if you will. And in his naivety, he's like, yeah, I guess I can make a contract with you, sure. And she's like, one in like a million might have the chance of making a contract with me. And so he makes a contract with her, and she's grateful, of course, and she ends up being extremely annoying. But as her character is, you know?
Yeah, it's her personality. Well, here's the thing. It's like, she doesn't, like, make it seem like she's arrogant or all these people. She's like, no, the, like, typically everyone, and she doesn't vocalize it to him. It's like, everyone's always kind of like, oh, they only want me because I'm a beast or this and that. And she's like, I feel like you could contract with me because I felt like this buzz. I have this feeling like you could just try it. And he's like, all right, fine, whatever, you know, totally. The thing that really catches her off guard is that after he made the contract with her, he made a temporary contract with a bunny and then had other bunnies come over and he made other temporary contracts with them. And like told them all to go do something. And that's what throws her off. That's what makes her go, what the hell is going on? You shouldn't be able to do that. And so she feels inadequate as the tamed beast, so to speak. Because her master is still contracting other animals to do his bidding, to help him out with tasks instead of relying solely on her.
Now, what I found quite interesting was the benefits that a beast tamer gains by doing a permanent contract with certain beings. Like, he kind of upped his agility, kind of upped his minimalistic strengths, upped his mental capacity with every contract he made. He gains a little bit of that experience is what I understood. Whereas with the contract that he made with the cat woman, basically, her strongest attribute, which in this case is her strength, was transferred into him as well. The reason I bring up the past stuff is because when he was fighting the hero, they have a little spat because the hero's not fantastic. And he's like, yeah, I learned from the... I was faster because of the bear, because of the bird, because of the bees. Like, I gained a little bit of experience and I understood how they move. And when making temporary contracts, you have to understand the animal itself.
Right.
Otherwise, the contract has no foundation. So that's where I kind of got from that.
So what you're saying is he got better. He didn't get better. He didn't have those strengths or attributes or anything like that. He understood what was going on, and they used him as basically a pack mule. And he would use the others to help scout out the area to understand what's going on and everything like that, but he actually couldn't fight. He didn't have anything that boosted him or anything like that in terms of fighting abilities. That only came from the permanent contract, and the fact that he got the bonus from the permanent contract was a complete unknown to him because no one had ever done it. No one had ever made a permanent contract, especially with an ultimate species, before. So that's where that was actually coming from. It was like, I guess no one ever did. He also talks about, you know, not just insect beast taming, but insect taming. And he's like, oh yeah, it's like kind of like a subset of beast taming. And a lot of people are this. It's like, you shouldn't be able to do this. Like, how are you, like, who does that? Like, we're, you know. And so one of the things that I really like is you're like getting all this information. He's kind of like, you know, feeding it to you. It's like, all right, cool. Are we going to go back to this village? Are we going to learn about this village? And you do learn about the village. It's just not what you're expecting
at all.
Like, not even in the slightest. It's kind of throws you for a loop. It's like, well, okay then.
I mean, I was totally expecting like that other show where Lloyd came from the final boss level village, and he comes out and he's OP as all hell.
Yeah.
And doesn't know it. What was that name? The show
Kid from the Boonies moves to a starter town.
Yeah. Bumpkin from the Boonies goes to a starter town. Oh, Kid from the Final Dungeon goes to the starter town. And yeah, I figured it'd be the same thing here. Cause he comes from a village of beast tamers, and I'm thinking, okay, they're OP as all heck too. And unfortunately, he gets the Batman treatment, but doesn't quite go Batman's route.
Yeah, no, he instead takes the I'm an aloof main character, kind of meandering through life, not really worrying about anything, but worrying about stuff. And I was hurt, but I'm not letting it define me type of route.
Well, yeah. I mean, he also didn't really have any abilities unto himself that he found usable. So he did very rough manual labor just to earn his keep for the longest. And the hero came by. He's like, hey, we need someone like you. And then they physically just load him down and verbally destroy him.
Well, they
don't. He's like, no, they're helping me. They're helping me.
Well, they don't actually vocalize any of that until they decide to fire him.
They do flashbacks where they're not nice to him at all.
Yeah, but like, they didn't straight up vocally tell him that, and he even references that. It's just like I thought we were getting along fine, or I thought everything was fine, or everything like that, or that they kind of pushed me along. But no, yeah, now they're just nasty. Now they're just playing all being nasty. It's like, what the hell? And so, like, but in general, he chooses not to let that define him. And honestly, I'll say this right now. I feel like Arios is supposed to be the hero. That's the guy's name. He's whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, when you first meet him, like, and when they're firing the guy, you can tell everyone there is very, very full of themselves. And then the more you learn about them, the more that's everything's going on, the more you're like, these guys really don't seem like the heroes. And I feel like he's only considered the hero because of, you know, he probably has an ancestral lineage going dating back to the original hero or something like that. Right.
And yeah. So they trace his bloodline.
Right. And the more you learn about him, the more you're like, man, this guy is a real scumbag. I would not be surprised if he ends up being the demon lord in the end, because how he's acting, the things he's doing, I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up being like that. Like, if homeboy totally ended up becoming the demon lord, like, I don't know.
I could see it. I could definitely see it. But the way that you got to figure, a little bit off topic, but there was a book I once read called Good Omens and Bad Omens. It matters.
Bad, Rick. Bad.
Psst. It matters to this particular situation.
If I had a spray bottle, I would spray you right now. Bad, Rick.
No, it matters. It pertains. I promise. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, where
time.
The where the devil's son is born and he's swapped at birth on accident, and essentially the people who thought they were raising the devil's kid raised him in such a manner he became very arrogant, very entitled. And I think this kind of happened here, where he was born and everyone's like, oh, he's the hero. And everything in his life is either gone his way or has been handed to him. So he's just come to expect a better experience from people than normally you would get. And it made him, instead of being gracious for these positive experiences, if he doesn't have above the over-the-top treatment, he thinks you're disrespectful and disgusting and a peasant and you don't understand and how dare you impede me.
The reason why I'm going to disagree with you, and sorry to cut you off, I'm going to disagree with you, and I want you to tie it in, right? Because
yeah, I just did.
I want you to tie it into this question.
Okay.
It wasn't that he was born and they treated him like that from the birth. He was ordained by the church of that world to be the hero. Like they say the church is very part of it, from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't think it's from birth. And the more I think about it, I don't even think it's about bloodline. Like they traced his bloodline back. I feel like someone in the church may have said that he did it or something like that. I feel like that could be it. What do you think? So do you,
from I watched the dub. Which one did you watch?
Subbed. And the reason why I'm coming off with the church is because that's what they keep talking. They keep referencing it. And one of the other characters 100%. keeps talking about it and referencing it. And it's like, no, you've been chosen by God or by the blah, 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 blah. So that's why. And it didn't hit me until you said swapped at birth and they were supposed to raise, like, it didn't hit me until that point. Like, it didn't register mentally, I guess, until that point. So I don't think it was a bloodline thing. I think it was more of a religious thing. And he just happened to be chosen because of whatever, pick your flavor, right? And that's where his arrogance is coming in, because he is ordained by that world's main religion and being the hero.
I agree with that. I agree with that, but I believe there are qualifiers.
Right.
Because in the dub, they did specify that he had a direct blood lineage to the first hero.
Right.
Which qualified him to be that hero.
Right.
Now, obviously, everyone connected to the main hero, the first hero, wouldn't be able to be, you know, the next hero.
Right.
But he did mention in his fight on the one-on-one hero versus the Beast Tamer, he did mention that he's got divine magic. That's what separated...
He gets special. He has a special set of magic or whatever. And the magic that he was using, honestly, is not that special.
No, it's not. But it's lightning, which was considered divine, which makes me think that he wasn't chosen by the church. He displayed the ability to use this divine thing. And they're like, oh, my God, he must be the new hero. End of times. Choose him. Right. Support him. Like that kind of thing. Okay. So the second he was able to develop something abnormal, but also had the blood lineage, they're like, oh. He went from a potential to this is him.
Okay. I'm game for that. Yeah. 100%. 100%. I can see that. I can 100% see that. Yeah. The lightning displaying it. And then that's how he's actually chosen, because everyone that would do it, everyone that would be like, oh, I'm part of his bloodline. Yeah. They're not going to be the hero. It's like, it's gotta be someone specific. Right. But what I think it is, I'll even tie into your favorite hated anime of all time, Naruto.
All right.
What if it's not divine, but it's bloodline magic, and it's not that's the unique qualifier for it, right? It's just that. His bloodline is the only one known to be able to use that magic, right?
See, I'm glad you said that, because I had a theory. I was going to wait until you brought it up, and then I completely forgot it. I'm glad you mentioned that. See, I don't think that's accurate, and here's why. It was stated that the first hero went to the gods, and the gods bestowed upon him their power, and that's how he was able to defeat the devil and all that stuff, the demons and the demon lord. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. I think one of the qualifiers also was the demon destroying our main character's village. Well, that happened, and then they're like, oh, demons are here, we got to look for this guy. Oh, he's got the divine magic, it must be him, the time matches everything.
It wasn't power. It was blood. They gave him a bit of blood, and the only person you ever see using blood, and I'll tell you this right now, I don't have sharp teeth at all, and bro, he can just like easily like breathe thumb and it cuts, and then it immediately heals up. Anyways, he's the only one you ever see using blood
exactly. to make
a contract.
So that's why
they don't state that he got power from the gods, because that they said that he got some of their blood and some of their power. So I feel like,
you're on the same page. I think
we're on the same page. I feel like they were just describing a beast tamer doing exactly what, our main character was actually doing.
Yeah.
And just kind of flipped it around, and it was like, oops. So when they were saying like bloodline, they weren't meaning like literal blood. When they were talking about blood, they were talking about the dude making a contract as a tamer. Yeah.
And as we said before, it's not widely known that if you make a contract with a demi-human or or anything like that, you get their power. So it's not widely known that that's a thing.
Yeah.
So what my thought process was, he went to these magical races or whatever, formed contracts with them, and one of them just happens to have lightning ability, like obviously. And so when they see him using lightning magic and have a wonderful affinity to these magics, they're like, oh my god, he's chosen, he's gonna save us, yay.
Yep.
And his kids, maybe he didn't teach them, I don't know, maybe they branched off, but there's got to be a reason why the demons went and preemptively attacked that beast tamer village.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And again, because that attack happened, I'm sure someone had to come in and kick demon butt. Someone had to. They're not just going to dissipate after they kill off a village, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking the church came in, decimated them with holy magic or whatever, and was like, oh no, this is the end of times. Follow this bloodline. They found the kid who displayed some kind of affinity towards magic and was like, hey, you're the second coming. You're it. And right. So from then he was treated vastly differently. And if we're given, going off of timelines here, we're looking at maybe a 10-year, 15-year time span.
Yeah.
And if you're treated like you're above everybody by everyone you know for 15 years from a young age, you're going to believe it. And you're going to expect premium care, premium service, premium everything. So you become arrogant. You become entitled. You become all these negative things.
Right. And we're spending a lot of time on him, on the hero. I'm going to use air quotes, hero. Yeah. Because he does, even though he's not the main character, he does play a very pivotal point. And you do see him like slowly move towards being like the bad guy and away from being the hero. And you see our main character, Rain, move from being a side character to the hero.
Yeah, accidentally too. He doesn't even want it. He's like, a weight's been lifted off my shoulder, I guess. I need to take a look at things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
I was gonna be happy just helping. And now that burden's no longer on my shoulder. What am I gonna do? Well, you know, I could probably be an adventurer.
Yeah.
And so he tries that and on his first mission. And here's what sets him apart. Here's what makes him, in my mind, a true hero. And the way that I've seen a bunch of stuff, the way that I've expected things to go, I expected this to be a kind of test of sorts, that after he collected and killed off these five or these 10 goblins for his first mission, he hears help. And they're like, and he's still on a test to find out if he's a worthy adventurer. And he sees this very weak looking woman. And he's like, I'm going to attack this big ass beast that's attacking her. Gets the attention
and tells her to run. Tells her to run.
So they guess what that is. That is a heroic quality. And I assumed that was part of the test. Like, oh yeah, you passed. Woo. This is the real test. That never happened. And that's when he met the cat girl. And that's when he formed the contract. That's when you find out that, oh my God, you're super strong. And everything else just seemed to line up perfectly for him to kind of gain more people. Yeah. And he's nice and he's kind and he always wants to talk things out, which honestly, not a bad quality, you know, not a bad quality at all, but kind of naive, I feel.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But it serves him well because he's got a strong body from his first contract, his second contract, which happens to be a freaking 15-year-old devil. Or a dragon. Sorry, 15-year-old dragon. You don't think she's 15? I thought they said, at least in the dub, they say that when they turn 15, they go on a crusade, a rite of passage.
Yeah, when they turn 15, that's when they tend to go on there. However, it doesn't say like she was only there at the start of it. It's just like that's typically when they venture out. So
fair enough. So she's at least 15. At least 15.
At least I would say 17, 18.
If it makes you feel more comfortable, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like in terms of mentality and maturity, I would.
Oh, true. True. She was far more mature than the cat girl. Still a bit immature, but yeah, still.
Well, that's why I'm saying 17, 18.
Fair enough.
She's not, I'll take it. She's not the highest level of maturity, but she is there. She's getting there. Gotta give a little.
I'll go with that.
Cat girl, I would totally believe like 15 years old, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the cool part was the dragon was able to physically match both his attack and the Catwoman's attack. But we assume they're going all out. Find out later that she's only using like a fraction of her power and she goes all out for like a split second. And I'm a fan. I wish they'd do that more. But when he contracts, when he finally beats the dragon, he doesn't do it through brute strength, surprisingly. He does it through his beast taming skill. He gets poisonous birds to attack and neutralize the target, at least for a little bit. And he ends up forming a contract specifically because he does not take her body and sell it. He does not force her to do things that she doesn't want to do. He does not. He's very respectful. I just want to have a conversation. Like, things can be talked peacefully out. And I unfortunately feel like eventually he's going to get to like the Demon Lord and want to talk things out, you know?
Oh yeah. No, 100%. I mean, they do specify, and like how the story kind of goes, they do specify that there are like 10 total races or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, we're only on season one. We're only on season one. They did 3 different races.
Yep.
No, four races.
Yeah. So right? You've got the Catwoman. You definitely got the dragon. Have
like another season to get to at least
easily. You know? It's got a fantastic foundation. I find it to be very, very attractive story wise. I really don't like how annoying that the cat girl can be at times. Would like to see someone to come in with an appraisal skill, if you will, and appraise him so we know exactly what's going on, because there's a lot of Deus Ex Machina crap going on.
Oh yeah, but they already set it up for that, right? And they and they even talked about it, right? Everyone has a limit. There's no matter what, you have a limitation for whatever it is and everything like that. And they set it up for him to be able to go beyond that said limitation, and they set the foundation where next level stuff is going to happen, and it's not going to phase whatever is going on, right?
So,
They totally set it up for that. So
yeah, well, they also said something about the hero having a limit break, where the main feature of the hero is limitless growth,
right?
So I mean, I see it here. Maybe they saw it there too for the other kid. But
the thing, right? They don't know at what point he'll reach the limit and go beyond that, right? It's just a speculation that he will have limitless growth. And I feel like he doesn't have limitless growth. The person who does have limitless growth is our main character. And I also feel like anyone else who's a beast tamer who contracts with said beasts have limitless growth.
Now, here's my thought on this, and I like this thought. You can tear it apart if you want. I look at him, and I think he had a lineage of beast tamers, and he learned at a young age where you can, you know, do nice things, but he himself has mentioned he didn't have that much of a mana pool, so he was able to contract with the first girl, and I think that would have been the limit of his ability, because he seems a bit tired afterwards, right? But because he received power from her, it allowed him a second. And once he made contract with the Dragon Lady, his mana pool exploded, just straight skyrocketed,
right?
Which allowed him for further development. And I think that with every new contract he earned, like in my mind, if he went to the dragon first,
I don't hear you disagreeing with what I said in shorter words.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that I think that if he would have done it in a different way, it wouldn't have worked.
No, it would have worked. Like in general, he would have been able to contract with any of them. I mean, like they already showed that if he was going to contract with someone that had a lot of magic power or something like that, he would have done it. He would have gained a boon in magic. I just feel like maybe the attributes he gained from it would have been different. Possibly.
It's possible. I mean, heck, you also you talk about a pain in the ass. He ended up accepting a contract, a job, if you will, from the hero. Like, hey, I need this shield. Could you get it for me? I spent 2 weeks looking for it. I couldn't find Jack anything. And he was like, all right, yeah, I'll take a look at it. 2 days later, not only did I kill a general from the demon army, but
he wasn't a general. They didn't say he was general, but he was a higher class individual. And he was sent he is a part of the Demon Lords, but they knew exactly who he was. And there are others that are exactly like him. So,
but they were able to like, just take him out with, I would say not extreme effort. You know what I mean? Like, they were able to take this guy out without having too much difficulty.
Right. Well,
which led him to get...
His strength was against magic users. He's impervious to magic. Not so much against physical.
Yeah. Well, now he was, because when he defeated that, the demon spawn, let's call it then, he contracted with the two twins, the twin fairies. And that's where he got the magic nullification, status nullification. But we find that out later.
Yeah. Yeah. And everything that every time he contracts, he gains something from it. So again, I said the exact same thing, but in shorter time frame.
Fair enough. I have a question, though.
No.
We find out that we've got a demi-human or a demigod.
No.
Right?
No.
Do you think there are actual gods in this world that he is able to contract?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I know that there's devils in there, not demons, but devils. So I would assume that there are. The one that he contracted with, the final one, was a demigod.
Yeah.
So
we don't know what happens after that, though. What kind of power he might gain off of that.
Right. Only time will tell.
Yeah, only season two will tell.
Exactly.
But I have a weird question. Do you think he'd be able to contract devils or demons? If he can contract like demi-humans, like the
well, one of the superior races, celestial races, is devils. So yeah, he can. Demons, on the other hand, and I feel like there is a very clear distinction in between the two. You see him kind of doing it, and he probably could if he ran across one that wanted to.
I got you. I found a young one, kind of thing.
Right.
Like a baby, almost.
Right.
Because, yeah, originally I was under the impression you couldn't contract monsters. You could only contract animals.
No,
but then this other guy did the Minotaur.
Right.
And, yeah, that was interesting.
Well, they actually pointed out that it's actually illegal to contract with monsters.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just difficult.
No, they pointed out that it's actually illegal to contract with monsters. And it's probably because you can never truly tame a monster. And
never get rid of their aggression.
Yeah, you never get rid of their aggression. So it's always going to be a problem.
That makes sense. I was going to ask you, do you know why? But yeah, you just said it. Yeah.
So before we get into the rating, I want to say, though.
Okay.
That every person, every bad guy, every negative person that you always, that you're introduced to, that you're shown in this show, it's not like, oh, whatever, and he's a bad guy. No, it's like you look at him and you're like, that dude just needs to be killed. He just needs to be like totally demolished. He needs justice, swift, hard, brutal justice across the board. Whenever you run across anyone that's like that, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. One of the best lines in this show, in my opinion, is when our Rain was fighting the hero. And after he basically whoops his ass, he goes, huh, you know, whoever said that revenge is overrated was wrong. I like this.
He's like, it's an empty feeling. He's like, I don't exactly agree with it, but, you know.
He goes, I like it.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
All right. So,
All right, sir. So on a scale of up to 10, how would you rate this?
I'm going to give this an 8. Okay. And the reason I'm not rating it higher is because of how annoying the cat girl is. But it's within the character scheme. It makes sense. It's not gratuitous. There was one scene in here, one part of a show or part of an episode where it was a bit gratuitous fan service, but it wasn't bad at all. I know, roll your eyes, but it didn't really have a place in my mind. Like, it wasn't necessary, but it was not gratuitous. It wasn't in your face, and it felt more natural. It was more humorous than typically it goes. Animation quality, fantastic. The difference of good and evil, I'm loving how direct everything is. And I love how exact everything is shown. Like, you're either good or you're bad. And there's no gray area where you're Only a little bit. No, you're straight, like, killing babies. Yeah. Bad, you know?
Yeah.
So I liked that. And I liked how defined the actions decided to be. They weren't drawn out like I tended to be. But I would recommend this to other people. Highly recommend it to other people. The thing that's stopping it from being higher than an 8, again, the cat girl and her annoyingness, but also the bookends. You find a bunch of stuff like they just barely touch on that. They will hopefully expose later if we get a season 2.
Right.
And I really didn't like the fact that a lot of things just happened to have a really easy solution, you know, because beast taming.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no,
that's my only gripe.
I gotcha. For me, I'm actually going to go higher. I'm going to go 9.
Really? I was expecting a 6 out of you.
No, it was entertaining for what it was. I certainly laughed. The animation was fine. It was passable. It was lighthearted. It was enjoyable. The characters you were meant to hate, truly hated. I hated them, like, with the passion. I did not have a problem burning through this. The music I felt was very good. It was nicely done. The animation was also very nicely done. It didn't, I mean, like, yeah, it wasn't perfect, but it was entertaining. I got no real major qualms with it. The only big problem that I have with it is the fact that, you know, we're left to so much. We're left with so much unanswered, and they can do a lot more with it. You know, I feel like it was kind of maybe cut short a little bit.
Weird question. How many episodes do you think this could be for a full story?
That's a great question. I don't know. But what I do know is what we're watching next week. And what we're watching next week is the movie of Escaflowne. Because there is actually a movie for the that followed up and came out after the series. So
weird. Why does that sound familiar?
You know what? I did a review of it last week on the series.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, like, you should check it out. Totally. It was good. But seriously, I got nothing else. You got anything else other than that, sir? Yeah. No?
Nope. All right. No, I don't.
All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did too much, just not enough justice, got anything or everything wrong about it, feel free to let us know. All our contact information and everything like that for you in the show notes. Or you can go to featuredanimepodcast.com. All our information, links, all that stuff is available to you on there. We're on Discord. You can go there, hang out, and you will get a notification when we are live in Discord. We do like to give a little bit of a shout out. You want to hear some of the pre and post show content that we usually do with every episode, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. And if you want to buy some swanky swag, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com, and it will definitely help us out if you prefer to support us like that. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.